And that is our prayer, that God will speak to us from his holy, inspired word this very morning. I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's word and turn with me to two places. First of all, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, beginning in the 14th verse. I have been doing this sermon series in Mark since the month of February, and we've worked our way up to this 13th chapter, which in its entirety has been called the Olivet Discourse. These were the final lessons of Jesus. He taught them to his disciples on the Mount of Olives on Wednesday, the last week of his life. In two more days, he would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. So these are significant lessons as he teaches the disciples about the near and far future of the church. And so our text is Mark chapter 13, verse 14 and following. But it refers in Mark chapter 13, verse 14 to the Old Testament book of Daniel. And so after you've found Mark 13, verse 14, I would like for you to mark Daniel chapter 9 and a single verse, verse 27, as this is referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ as he talked in this Olivet Discourse about the future tribulation. Now, of course, you and I know that tribulation has been experienced by Christians since the beginning of time. As a matter of fact, even now, in dark and distant places that we know nothing about, there are people who are giving their own lives for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are being tortured and imprisoned because of their faith in the Lord, and we should pray for them. Persecution is nothing new in the life of Christians, but this future persecution that Jesus prophesies about in Mark 13, beginning in verse 14, is unprecedented. And to show you that, I want you to look at verse 19 of Mark chapter 13. These are the words of Christ to his disciples on Wednesday of the last week of his life. He said in verse 19, "For in those days there will be tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be." This future tribulation is unprecedented. And Jesus tells us about this tribulation in verse 14. And so look there with me, the words of Jesus as he begins this prophecy. "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand." What is this abomination, or we could call it blasphemy, that comes and causes desolation, or another word for that is destruction? Well, to see that, you can lose your place here in Mark chapter 13 and turn back in the Old Testament with me to Daniel chapter 9 in a single verse, verse 27, where we see three things about this future tribulation that Jesus prophesies about in Mark 13. We first of all see, number one, the covenant with the Antichrist. Let's just unpack this single verse word by word and phrase by phrase as the prophet Daniel foresees that future tribulation, saying in verse 27, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." Wow. What does that mean? I'm going to break it down for you, beginning with the reference to time in that word "then" in verse 27. That's what we want to know. When is this future tribulation that will usher in the second coming of Christ going to happen? Well, I'm not a date setter. Not even Jesus himself is a date setter. He says only God in heaven knows that date. It could be 1 million years from now, or it could be this very day. Who knows? Only God knows when that date will be. But this reference to time gives us some clue as to what we should be watching for to know when this future tribulation starts. So that word then, a reference to time, refers back to verse 26. You're in verse 27. Look back up in verse 26 where we see another reference to time. It says, and after, that's when the then is going to be, and after the 62 weeks. Stop right there. We're going to see a reference to weeks throughout our study this morning on Daniel 9:27. And if you're reading from the New International Version, it doesn't even mention weeks. It just says 62 sevens. And that's really more literal as to what is being gotten at here by Daniel the prophet. Whenever it says weeks in the book of Daniel, it is referring to years. This is a pattern in the Old Testament writings. You might want to jot down a couple of Old Testament verses that refer to years as weeks. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8 is the first, it's the second place we see the reference of weeks to years, weeks symbolizing years. Here's a second Old Testament reference. Genesis chapter 29, verse 27. It uses that term weeks to refer to years. So when you see weeks in our study this morning, think in terms of years. And so again, in verse 26, we want to know when this future tribulation is going to be. It says, and after 62 weeks, or that is 62 years, we will see that Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Now, I misspoke when I said that weeks stands for years. Weeks, a week has 7 days in it. And so when a week is referred to, it is speaking of 7 years. So what is 62 times 7? 62 times 7 is 434 years, okay? Now, after 434 years, Messiah will be cut off. But there is another period of time that is mentioned in the previous verse, verse 25, when it talks about Messiah the Prince. In verse 25, it says there shall be 7 weeks or 7 years. What is 7 times 7? It is 49. And so if you add the 434 years to the 49 years spoken of in verse 25, which, by the way, was the exact period of time it took for the temple to be built after Artaxerxes issued the decree for Nehemiah to go back to his homeland, Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. So 49 years to rebuild the temple, 434 years added onto that will leave you with 173,880 days. Using the lunar calendar, which is what the Jews used. They did not use our calendar, they used the lunar calendar. Well, what's significant about that? Well, Daniel is writing 5 centuries before the time of Christ. And from this time, 173,880 days is April the 6th, 32 AD. What happened on April the 6th, 32 AD? Jesus, the Messiah, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And shortly after that, he would be cut off from the land of the living. He would be crucified. It is amazing to see this prophecy made centuries before the event, pinpointing to the date when Jesus would come in his triumphal entry, and to be able to look back on that prophecy in our time and see how it is confirmed to the date. Bible prophecy is the greatest confirmation of the truthfulness of Scripture. And so that is the when. Going back now to verse 27, we're looking at the covenant with the Antichrist. It says, then he, in verse 27. Who is the he? Well, go back up to verse 26, and it speaks of the people of the prince who is to come. The Prince of Peace, Jesus, has already come. He has been prophesied about in this same verse. He came on April the 6th, 32 AD, in his triumphal entry. But who is this new prince who is to come? He is no less than what 1 John calls the Antichrist. The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, speaks of this Antichrist as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one. He's called by many different terms. In the book of the Revelation, he is called twice the beast. So whether you use the term the beast or the Antichrist or the lawless one, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the prince who is to come is the Antichrist. And he is the one who will establish a covenant with Jerusalem in this future tribulation. We'll read more about that in a moment. People are so interested in prophecy today. And I want you to know everything has happened that needs to happen for the Lord Jesus to come again and for this future tribulation to usher in his second coming. Reading the pages of Scripture today, the prophecy today, is like reading the newspaper. It's just events that are unfolding before our very eyes every day. And people want to know what the future is. And they say, Pastor, teach us about the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Well, before you can understand the book of the Revelation, you have to understand the book of Daniel. You see, Daniel is the ABCs of prophecy. Revelation is the X, Y, and Zs of prophecy. Before you can adequately understand Revelation, you need to understand Daniel. And that's what you're doing this morning in Daniel 9:27. And so again, the covenant with the Antichrist, verse 27, then, we saw the reference to time, he, that's the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant or a treaty, and it will be for 1 week, or in the New International Version, 1:7. Again, if you remember, when Daniel refers to weeks, he's talking about years. And so how many days are in a week? 7. The International Version gets that right. And so this future tribulation is a 7-year period of time. And so what will happen in this covenant, this treaty that the Antichrist makes with the future Jews? When, we don't know, but we do know this. He will establish a treaty with them that says, I, the Antichrist, I'm going to protect you from all your enemies. You look at a map of Israel today, she is surrounded by nothing but enemies. And for someone, a world ruler, to come and say, I'm going to give you peace with all your enemies, you're not going to have any more trouble, any more threats from all of your enemies, I'm going to establish that, Israel would be so grateful and be willing to follow this future ruler, the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, whatever you want to call him, the lawless one. And it will be a time of prosperity for the nation of Israel. And he will reestablish temple worship. Now, you know from last Sunday that Herod's temple was destroyed. I have been to the Temple Mount, and it's flattened. There's not one stone on top of another, and there's just a mosque, the Dome of the Rock, for the Muslims on that Temple Mount. And so the Antichrist says, hey, I am going to reestablish temple worship on the Temple Mount. Now, let me give you some current facts that will interest you. Currently in Israel, stones are being cut for the rebuilding of the temple. Currently in Israel, Jewish boys are being taught the priesthood and the sacrifice of animals so that that can occur in this future temple. All of this sounds so good to the Jews. And this temple that is rebuilt will have significance, but it will not have the significance of the Old Testament temple. But the Antichrist has nefarious designs on the reestablishment of temple worship in his plan, in this treaty, in this covenant. And the Jews will have no idea about the Antichrist's true motives in rebuilding this temple. That leads us to our second point in the middle part of verse 27, and that is the corruption of the Antichrist. Pick up reading with me there in verse 27 where I left off. It says, but in the middle of the week, okay, what is a week in Daniel? It is a year. And we've already seen that this future tribulation is 7 weeks. It's 7 years. So what is half of seven? What is the middle of seven? It is 3.5. So this corruption of the Antichrist, or by the Antichrist, will be after 3.5 years in the middle of this treaty, this covenant that he establishes. It says, but in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Oh, the Jews were so delighted when he reestablished temple worship, but then he's going to pull the rug out from underneath their feet and say, no more, no more. And then we see the scripture here in verse 27 that is referred to by Jesus way back there in Mark chapter 13, verse 14. It says, but in the middle of the week, in other words, 3.5 years, he, the Antichrist, shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, no more temple worship. And on the wing, if you're in the New International Version, it says on the wing of the temple. It's the only translation I know that uses the expression the temple. But it's okay. On the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. Two key terms here, abominations and desolate. What did Jesus tell us to look for in this future tribulation way back there in Mark 13, verse 14? He says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not stand, then understand. And so today, you understand what is being said here. By the way, back there in Mark 13, verse 14, this prophecy that he gives was not for the disciples as they sat there on the Mount of Olives, because back there in Mark 13, verse 14, he says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Had the Bible been written yet? Had the Gospel of Mark been written yet? Jesus says, let the reader understand. This is not an editorial comment by Jesus. He is saying, Peter, you're sitting here, you're listening to me about this future tribulation in the Olivet Discourse, and I want you to know that sometime in the future, you're going to tell this story to somebody, and that somebody was Mark. And Mark put Peter's memory of these words down in writing. That's why we have the Olivet Discourse in the Gospel of Mark. And so the disciples, they were hearing all this, but they were not reading it. It was not meant for the disciples at that time. It was meant for the readers that are yet to come, which is you and me. Right now at this very moment, let the reader understand. So back in Daniel 9, verses 27, it says, "He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, no more temple worship. And this shall be with the abomination and desolation that the Antichrist will bring." Now it's very interesting that Daniel refers to this expression, abomination of desolation, two other times. He refers to it in the 12th chapter of Daniel, verse 11, and then he refers to it in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31. Now, stay with me here. The chapter 12 reference to the abomination of desolation is describing the future Antichrist. But the chapter 11, verse 31, abomination of desolation, was referring to another person who reminds us of the Antichrist. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the emperor, the king of the Seleucid army. And Daniel prophesied this before it ever happened, because on December 15th, 137 AD, still future to Daniel, who was writing about 5 centuries before the time of Christ, Antiochus Epiphanes on December 15th, 137 AD, attacked Israel, destroyed the temple. He took pigs and slaughtered them on the altar, and he placed in the altar's place a statue of Zeus to be worshipped. And so Daniel is giving for us, between Daniel 9:27 and Daniel 12:11, an historical model, which we can look back on today and say, man, that was just like Daniel prophesied it. December 15th, 137 AD, Antiochus Epiphanes destroyed the temple. And he created an abomination on the altar by sacrificing pigs on the altar and putting Zeus's image there to be worshipped. So why does Daniel, there in Daniel 11, gives us this historical model? It's to give us a point of reference to know that the future tribulation led by the ultimate Antichrist is seen in historical models like the one in Antiochus Epiphanes. And so go back on this Daniel 9:27, where it says that this will be on the wing of the temple, as the New International Version says, or as other translations say, on the wing of abomination shall be one, that is the Antichrist, who makes desolate. After the Antichrist is assassinated and resurrected in Revelation 17 and verse 8, the Antichrist will literally be carried to the throne in the temple complex, which has been rebuilt. He will be carried up to the pinnacle of the temple. And there, these evil spirits will place him before the people. Just like Antiochus Epiphanes established a statue of Zeus to be worshipped, the Antichrist will be on his throne on the pinnacle of the temple, the wing of the temple. When I went to the Holy Land with Amy, I went to this exact location. As a matter of fact, the wing of the temple is ground level. It's below ground level. And I literally touched the pinnacle of the temple, the wing of the temple. And it just made chills go through my spine, because I realized this is the place referred to in Daniel 9:27. But not only there, It's referred to in the Gospels when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You remember the devil took him up to a high place in the temple and told him to cast himself down before all the onlookers on the ground beneath him. And he quoted scripture saying that God will provide his angels to bear you up so you won't even dash a foot against the stone. Jesus, if you do this in the highest place in Jerusalem, you throw yourself down, the angels come and catch you and save you. Everybody will worship you as the Messiah. You won't have to go to the cross. You won't have to suffer and bleed and die. Do it my way. My way is the easy way, said Satan. How very tempting that was. But Jesus was not selfish like the Antichrist will be. What Jesus refused, the Antichrist will not only accept, but exploit in the middle of this tribulation. So this is how he corrupts the temple. Why did Jesus not take that easy offer to ascend to the throne where he would be worshiped by all? Because if he did that, there would be no cross. And with no cross, there's no salvation for you or me. That's why Jesus refused what the Antichrist will accept and exploit. And so Daniel 9:27, we're just going through it word by word and phrase by phrase. We can now come to the third and final point, and that is the condemnation of the Antichrist. Pick up reading where I left off in verse 27. It says, even until the consummation, which is determined, or your Bible might say decreed, is poured out on the desolate. The New International Version puts it this way, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. And so there is, according to this last part of verse 27, a time coming for the Antichrist when he will be condemned. He is doomed, and all his followers with him will be doomed. And that's why the takeaway from this message on the future tribulation, we don't know when it's going to start. It could be today. It could be a million years from today. But the message for those who have ears to hear today, the takeaway today is don't follow the Antichrist. Follow Jesus. And here are words of assurance and comfort for you. In Daniel, or in John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, they hear my voice, and they will not follow a stranger. And so the question of the hour is, do you belong to Jesus? Are you one of his sheep? If you are, you will not be led astray by a stranger. You will not be led astray by the Antichrist, because God has given you the capacity to differentiate between his voice, which is the word of God, and the voice of a stranger. So as the writer of Hebrews says, today, this hour, this moment, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You're being convicted today of your own sin. Don't harden your heart against God. Let it be soft and respond to him in repentance and faith. He will save you this very day. I would love to know about your decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why on the top of our website page that you're viewing this live stream from, there's a Get Connected button. Click on that and indicate on that that today you've decided to follow Jesus as your Savior. There's also a place there that you can make a prayer request. We have a prayer team that prays for every one of those prayer requests as they come in. I pray that you will respond to Jesus in faith today. And there are many that are praying for you to do the same thing right now as we pray together. Dear Father, in this moment, we pray that as your word has gone out about the future tribulation, that the ears that this message from your Bible, the ears that this message has fallen upon, will be ears that listen, and that they will respond to you in faith, trusting you as the only true God, as their Lord and Savior. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.